Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you on this 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And we are glad that you're here today worshiping with us in God's house. And we get to experience God's presence and hear God's word. And together we join and sing and worship and pray together. And a little bit later on, I'm going to be talking about that fear and anxiety and sometimes worry that comes along with feeling lonely. And a little bit later on, we'll be talking about that. So let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father.
Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Gracious God, you are our life.
You are our source, our security, our beauty.
Loving Christ, you are our healer.
You are our courage, our peace, our hope.
Holy Spirit, you are our breath.
You are our sustainer, our giver, our love.
We worship you. Well, let's do that this morning. If you want to turn in your hymn books, you can turn to hymn number 47, or you can sing along on the PowerPoint, Holy, 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 all four verses. Join together for our opening prayer. Loving God, as we enter this place today, we let go of our concerns and fears to be present with you, to listen for your voice and receive your grace. With empty hands and open hearts, we worship you. Amen. And you may be seated. And we're going to turn to our next hymn, 197. One of my favorites, and I'll be alluding to a little bit later on in the sermon. This morning, do we? All right. Well, we're going to move right along this morning then, and we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning as we go to prayer. Somebody this morning. Yes.
The Kendall family, for the loss of Wayne.
Okay, so we want to remember the Kendall family at the loss of that loved one there. Somebody else? Yeah.
A friend of mine down in Tampa got hit by a hurricane.
Okay, so one of his friends from Tampa that's been affected by the hurricane. And we definitely want to continue to pray for that. I was talking to my sister before the Bible study this morning, and we have cousins that live about the north center of North Carolina. And she said they were okay. There was some flooding in their small town, but she said up in the mountains just to the north of them, she said that's where entire houses and towns were just wiped out. And coming down into the valley, she said it was just horrible. And so we got a lot of prayers to remember about all of them. And yes, definitely want to do that. In all the areas, Florida, Carolinas, some of Georgia. So somebody else. Yes. Unspoken this morning. Somebody else. Yep.
Cancer taken off of his ear tomorrow.
Okay, so we want to continue praying for Jim. Pretty serious diagnosis there, and he really needs a miracle of God there. And for Doug, and some of you know what that's like to have some of that taken off of skin places and areas, and definitely want to do that, especially when they want to try to get it away before it gets worse and so forth. So definitely want to keep Doug in our prayers. Somebody else? Yes. Yes, I saw that on the thing.
And then also this week we got to enjoy the Northern Lights.
Yes, I know. And I remember reading about that a few days before, but I didn't go out and I missed it all. But it was gorgeous, some of the pictures that folks got to put on Facebook and everything about it. And it seemed like people out here in the Mayan East country, they were just as bright and gorgeous as could be. And what a great thing there to see that marvel. So, somebody else? Yes.
From the prayer group, Allie's here, the band, that's a joy, but we need to keep her in our prayers. Rob Park has an MRI the 18th, and we don't know what's going on.
Okay. Good.
Bill Wilkins.
Jan Hart.
Yeah, but
no, Bill. She said something about keeping Bill Wilkins in our prayers.
Bill
Wilkins. Yeah. Who's on our monthly, but.
Bill Wilkins is going to Cleveland Clinic next week, and they're hoping they can find something that's helping him keep that spot from the.
Yes. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, definitely want to keep her in our prayers with that back. But also for Bill, I'm glad they're going to Cleveland because that could turn serious in moments sometimes if it's not kept up on. Yes. Oh, yeah, he's been battling it for a long time. So that wound, yeah. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? There's quite a few that we want to remember. Sherry Graham, which is one of Beth's good friends that's battling cancer, and we want to lift her up, and she's on our list there. And we want to remember Katie, Renee, and Kim that we prayed for last week. And they also, all three of them have breast cancer. I've just gotten all those folks put over back, some of them back on, and then some of them on for the first time on the monthly calendar that'll be coming out for November. And then for Susan, for continued strength and healing for her. She was in the hospital, back in the hospital there for a while. Now she's at the rehab center there in Springfield, and we want to continue lifting her up in prayer, and for all of them. And then, do you want to share, or you want me to share about your sister? So Jill had like her fourth scan since she had went through treatments and everything, and there's two small spots on her, help me out here, is it in her abdomen, and then one sliver. I mean, it's like point something of a millimeter on her lung. And they're going to check the ones in her abdomen, and then to see what's going on. And then they'll go from there. So we really appreciate your prayers for Jody's sister, Jill. And as we want to lift her up in prayer today. Anybody else then before we go to prayer? All right, so we got several there to lift up, and as she plays, it'll give you a chance to lift up some of these names in prayer, and then I'll come and close us out. Thank you. Lord, as we pause today, we once again want to thank you for your goodness and your greatness and the wonders that you work in people's lives and in our world. And Lord, as we think about so many that were mentioned today, and especially thinking about those in Florida and Georgia and the Carolinas that were just hit and affected, and some even in Tennessee with some of the flooding and areas there. Lord, so many of them were hit so bad, and we just ask for your strength, first of all, and faith and courage in the midst of just, for some, a lot of loss and damage and effects. And Lord, we just ask that you would move and bring peace and comfort and grace and strength and courage in these times. Thank you for all the groups that are on the ground. Lord, we can't even begin to name them all, from government entities all the way down to local churches in their communities and other organizations and philanthropy groups that are trying to make a difference and helping people out in so many different ways. And we're thankful for all of them. And we just pray that you will watch over all that goes on and guide and direct and help in those desperation places there. Lord, we lift up those that have been mentioned, Lord. We especially think of the various ones today, like Sherry and Jim and Doug and Katie and Renee and Kim and Jill today. Lord, those that are either battling cancer or in the middle of fighting it and going through treatments or whatever at stage they're at, God, or maybe some are just beginning the process or going through tests, whatever it may be, we ask for your courage today in their lives, for faith, for strength, Lord, for healing, Lord, as only you can do, God, as we lift them up to you and ask for your touch for each of them. And also for many of them in that same situation that's on our monthly list, God, that you would touch them today with your presence and your healing touch and strength today. And Lord, we lift up the others, some of the others today that were mentioned. Lord, we think of Shauna today and for Bill today and for Ellie, God, and for Rob, Lord, and for Susan. Lord, we just ask that you would touch each of these, and with your touch and your healing grace and your strength, Lord, what they're going through and what they're facing, may you bring healing to their bodies. Lord, we lift up the Kendall family with the loss of this loved one. Lord, we just ask that you would bring peace and comfort and grace today for each of them. And Lord, if there's others today that maybe we've forgotten about, or maybe we prayed for last week or the week before that, or maybe some needs that just couldn't be shared today, maybe some burdens that some have carried in today in their heart and spirit, we just ask that you would help us to do what we sang there. And what a friend we have in Jesus, that we can just bring our burdens, we can bring our troubles, and we can lay them at your feet today. Whether they're specific situations or circumstances or friends or family members or our very own selves, Lord, we just bring them to you and bring us to you today, and ask that you would minister as only you can do with your grace and your love. We thank you for that love. We thank you for that grace and that love that is unending and that never fails. And because of Jesus and what he did for our very lives, thank you for all of those things today as we lift them up, as we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in praying for all those various ones today. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving, and you can dump your change and your dollar bills if you'd like to into the buckets there for the Heifer Project, also for our noisy collection. And so God bless you as you give today as our ushers come. Join together there in the bulletin for our prayer dedication. May the gifts we bring before you this day, O God, be a source of your overflowing grace. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, we're going to look at several passages here today that I wanted us to see as we move into this next message in our series. So we're going to be reading from several passages out of Genesis chapter 2, Psalm 139, and Mark chapter 2. So let's begin there in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to be kind of jumping around a little bit through some verses, some things that I want to highlight. And then we'll move on into Psalm 139 and Mark chapter 2. The Lord God formed the human from the topsoil of the fertile land and blew life's breath into his nostrils. The human came to life. The Lord God planted a garden in the east and put there the human he had formed. The Lord God took the human and settled him in the Garden of Eden to farm it and to take care of it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the human is alone. I will make him a fitting companion that is perfect for him." So the Lord God formed from the fertile land of all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky and brought them to the human to see what he would name them. The human gave each living being its name. The human named all the livestock and all the birds of the sky and all the wild animals, but a fitting companion for him was nowhere to be found. So the Lord God put the human into a deep sleep, or a deep and heavy sleep, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh over it. And with the rib taken from the human, the Lord God fashioned a woman and brought her to the human being. And then Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. Where can I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I fly on the wings of a dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there, your hand would guide me. Even there, your strong hand would hold me tight. And then Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 and verse 12. After a few days, Jesus went back to Capernaum, and people heard that he was at home. So many gathered there that there was no longer space and not even near the door. Jesus was speaking the word to them. Some people arrived and four of them were bringing to him a man who was paralyzed. They couldn't carry him through the crowd. So they tore off a part of the roof above where Jesus was. And when they had made an opening, they lowered the mat on which the paralyzed man was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." And Jesus raised him up, and right away he picked up his mat and walked out in front of everyone. That is God's word for us today, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, I've been sharing these little things about kids and prayer and different things, and here's another one this morning. A little boy was overheard praying, and he said, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time like I am." I want to talk to you this morning about the fear or the anxiety that goes along with loneliness this morning. Sue Bourne, producer of the BBC documentary quote, the age of loneliness, and author of the article, quote, the 10 reasons people are lonely, it's more complicated than that, wrote these words. Listen if it touches home. We're all a bit scared of loneliness, of being alone, of being left, or not being loved, or needed, or cared about. Lonely hits a spot of fear in all of us, even if we don't acknowledge it. You know, I was thinking about what she said there, and it kind of struck a chord with me because I can relate a little bit to that. You know, I have hundreds of phone numbers in my contact list in my phone, and hundreds of friends on Facebook. Yet there are times when I feel alone. And it doesn't matter who or it may be. Let me give you some examples. In our readings today from Genesis, we are told that the first human, the human, Adam, which we usually say Adam, was lonely. We are told that when Joseph was in prison and he had the Pharaoh's ear and interpreted his dreams, was lonely. We are told about Naomi, the widow who had lost her husband, how she was lonely. And we are told when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Words of, I'm alone. All of these that I just mentioned, and probably most of us here today, have experienced the bite of loneliness. The bite of loneliness. Because loneliness, like fear, worry, and anxiety, strikes everyone. And I use that word specifically, strikes. And I use that word bite purposely. Because if you've ever been bitten by something, it hurts and it stings for a while, and then eventually it gets better, doesn't it? And loneliness is sometimes like that. Loneliness hits us in waves, so to speak, and we can feel that way in different ways and different, you know, I mean, there's different types of loneliness. I was thinking about this morning. I mean, there's loneliness sometimes because we were there doing something all by ourselves for 3 or 4 or 5 hours. There's loneliness because of loss. There's loneliness because of whatever you want to come up with, because you quit your job or you retired. Sometimes you can face loneliness from that. And loneliness is a feeling of sadness that results from a sense of isolation and not being around friends and people that we know. Or loneliness results from feeling that one has no friends or companions with whom that they can share life with. And here's the thing about loneliness. Loneliness strikes the famous or the obscure, the rich or the poor, the talented or the average, the attractive or the unattractive, the married or the unmarried. Loneliness just bites. Studies show that loneliness stems from a variety of issues. It was interesting as I Googled a little bit of this week and looked at it, and there were some that I just didn't think about. You know, one of the times people felt very alone was when they moved from town to town and job to job. Because every time they moved, they grieved losing the friends and people that they had, and it was like starting all over again. Or retirement. That's one that I didn't really think about. You know, I usually think people are celebrating when they retire. But then all of a sudden they miss their friends from work and their coworkers that maybe they did things with or after work or whatever. And they couldn't do anything with them anymore because they were working and I was not or whatever, you know. Grief. Many of you here have experienced that. Divorce. And then I found some that were, I was not expecting to see in the list. People with low self-esteem. People who carry around worries and stress and anxieties. People facing alcoholism, depression, health problems. All of these things. And then we definitely all know the big one that we faced during COVID. Isolation. Isolation. That was a tough one. And even if we enjoy a web of relationships, we can still find ourselves struggling with the fear or the worry or the anxiety of being alone at times. But here's what I want you to see this morning. God notices. I do this once in a while, but I fail to do that. I want you to say it with me. God notices. Say it with me. God notices. Now let's change it up. God notices me. Let's say it. God notices me. Yes, God notices. When I reread the Genesis 2 passage this week, that just jumped out at me. In the middle of telling this poetic little thing in Genesis chapter 2, a more specific close-up vision of how God formed and made and put that human to work, meaning giving that human purpose, they're still alone. The 17th century poet John Milton wrote these words, Loneliness, quote, is the first thing which God's eye named not good. I had never seen that before. Because all throughout the story of Genesis 1, we're told over and over, God does this, God does that, God does it. God forms the human being or makes the human beings. And it was good, it was good, it was good, it was good. And then in Genesis 2, we're told that the human is alone. And God says, that's not good. God places the first human in the Garden of Eden and says it is not good that the human is alone. What do I want to say about this? As I was thinking about these passages this week, a couple things that I think may help us when we're feeling that way. First thing is reconnecting with God and others. Now, when I say that, I don't mean we've abandoned God or lost our faith, or we're not talking to other people. Because here's the thing I want you to see. The image of God fashioning or forming the human in Genesis 2 suggests a bond between the creator and the creature, between God and the human, a bond that never goes away. And that's why I believe the psalmist said in 139, it doesn't matter where I go, Lord. I'm never apart from you. I am never alone. You are there. No matter where if I make my bed in heaven or if I make my bed in the grave, you are there. And we may feel different at times. Often when we feel lonely or the fear of being alone, we tend to do the opposite of what is needed. Oh my gosh. I've probably done it myself, maybe unconsciously, but you don't know how many times as a pastor I've talked to people and they said, I just feel so lonely. And what do? They stop coming to church. They stop going and doing things with friends. And I'm like, come on. Think about this. You know how practical of a person I am. But still, sometimes when we feel that way, it doesn't matter, does it? Often when we feel lonely or fear of being alone, we tend to do the opposite of what is needed. Instead of reaching out to others or to God, we withdraw in fear. Or as you, if you've ever seen any of those documentaries with people that have severe anxieties, wow, it's, yeah. Why? Here's why. It feels easier and less painful to isolate ourselves. And one of the common sense responses that address this kind of fear is simply to re-engage with God and others. Reconnecting with God and others. The second thing here is don't forget about the importance of friends. On multiple occasions in Scripture, ordinary people, notice my words there, ordinary people are described as friends of God. Now, we might not think Abraham and Moses and Jesus are ordinary people, but if you really think about it, they were. What made them different and extraordinary is their friendship with God, their connection with God. And we can have that too. So Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and his disciples. Jesus himself said to his disciples, hey, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. Think about that. How important that is, that connection with God. To remind ourselves, God, you're with me. I may feel alone right now, but you are with me. And I'm talking to you right now. It's gotten me through some times in life. Here's another interesting thing that jumped out at me this week. In Mark 2, we read about a paralyzed man who was carried on a stretcher by four friends to Jesus. And clearly, when they could not get him to Jesus, they went out of their way to make sure that he got to Jesus. So they tore open, don't think of a metal roof, it's probably a mud roof, mud straw type roof, and they tore that off and they lowered him right down. And the picture Mark paints is if they dropped him right in front of Jesus as he's talking. And I didn't read it, and I don't know if I missed the verse or I didn't read far enough or what, but we're told that not only does Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, but Mark points out not the faith of the man who was healed, but the faith of the four friends. And that struck me, and I thought, oh my gosh, how important is it to have friends? When we're going through difficult times, when we're feeling alone, when the doctor told us some news that we don't want to hear. How important is it to have those friends that will pray with us and stand with us? And I thought, oh my gosh, how important that is as a church to be friends with people that maybe don't want to have anything to do with church. But we let them know we're praying for you. And how much that means. Because clearly his friends cared enough to make sure that he got to the healer from Nazarene, from Nazareth. And because of their faith, Jesus said the man was forgiven. And then he said, come on, get up. And he got up and went home. Joseph Scriven famously captured the promise of friendship with God through Jesus in a poem that he wrote in 1855, which later on became known as the well-known hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let me leave this with you today. We can harness the power of our imaginations to conjure up a future in which we are alone and unloved, or we can use that same power to imagine the truth of Scripture that says that we are never alone, that God knows us, loves us, and is by our side. In fact, the psalmist, probably if you'd look at that, those passages real close, the psalmist is basically saying, God is all around us, accompanying us every moment, no matter where and what. We are loved with a love that will not let us go. Imagine that. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a moment or two and shake a few hands and greet one another, and then we will close out with our little chorus there. Couple things here about the corn maze and the monthly. Get the paper out here. I wrote something down on it for something. 544, if you'd like to sing out of the hymn book. You only find the first verse in the hymn book. The second one is one that I've sang at previous churches, and I think we've sung it here too. So let's sing it through. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. See if you remember it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's join together for our benediction. Go with gratitude for God and friends. Keep following God, for we are not alone, never alone. God and others are with us. Amen.